I'd say most Catholics don't know this, but Pentecost, after Christmas and Easter, is the most solemn feast in the Church's liturgical life because we celebrate the birth of the Church, the beginning of the Church. And so that's why it's so solemnly and beautifully decorated here in the sanctuary. The red, of course, mimicking the tongues of fire, representing the Holy Spirit that descended upon the apostles, the driving wind that was heard by all that we've dramatically recreated with our ceiling fans. Yeah. Oh, no. Never mind. Not over there. Sorry. Over here. But it is really important, and it used to be an octave, actually. There used to be an octave of Pentecost, just as there was an octave of Christmas and an octave of Easter. Again, the idea being that you can't contain the solemnity of the feast in just one day. The octave of Pentecost was done away with by Paul VI. I don't know why. Thanks a lot, Paul VI. But you probably do like Paul VI because this, the Vigil of Pentecost, and the Pentecost liturgy itself used to be much, much longer. It kind of mimicked the Easter vigil in length and solemnity. So you could probably thank Paul VI for that. But this is the thing. We need to remember how solemn it is. The Church begins today with the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. With those tongues of fire, it represented the fire that was needed to send out the apostles to all the world. The Church was born today, and it was spoken of beautifully by Fulton Sheen, and he was describing what Pentecost really did, what the Holy Spirit did to form the Church. And he said, just as there are millions and millions of cells in our body, but they are one, make up one organism, one person, because they are vivified or given life by the soul, and they are unified by one visible head, and guided by invisible mind and intellect in each of us, so too at Pentecost, all of those members of the Church, potential members of the Church, were out there, and they were unified into one organism by the Holy Spirit, who is the soul of the Church. And they are unified by the one visible head, who was Peter, and now is the successor of Peter, and guided by the invisible mind of the true head of the Church, who is Christ, from heaven. So we are not just members of the Church as people are members of a club or members of a team, but members as in a physical body, that we are truly and literally members of the body of Christ, and the Church is truly the body of Christ. This is a new stage of Christ's existence. We celebrated his earthly existence beginning at the Annunciation, then of course at Christmas. We commemorated the various events in his life, and then commemorated his suffering and death at Lent and Holy Week, commemorated and celebrated with great joy these past 50 days, his resurrection in the Easter season, and just last week celebrated his ascension into heaven, where he went, as I mentioned, bodily into heaven, where he now resides with his glorified body. But from the very beginning, once Pentecost happened, our Lord is not whole without the Church. That's how the fathers of the Church spoke about it. That's how St. Paul speaks about our Lord, that the whole Christ is now Christ the head and his body the Church, that we are truly and literally a part of Christ because we are vivified, given life by the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That's what unites us. That's what makes us the body of Christ and not just some assembly of people that have decided to follow Jesus. The Church is not a human institution. It's not a natural institution. It's not just a bunch of people that said, we like Jesus' ideas, hey, let's form a club. It was God himself creating and forming and breathing life into disparate members to bring them into one. Much like at the beginning of creation, when God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth and then breathed life into him to make him in the image of God, so too at Pentecost, God took all of those members and breathed life into them. In fact, in the gospel, you actually hear him do that. He breathed on them, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. So God here is creating a new body to make his own. The Church has always been referred to as a perpetuation of Christ's bodily existence in this world, or an extension of the incarnation, right? Christ ascended into heaven, and that's where he resides bodily. He resides here under the appearances of bread and wine in our tabernacle. But he also exists in a very real way in the Church universal, right? Because we all are united by that same Spirit. And that's what makes us members of a body in a real way, not just members of a team or a congregation or a club or a human institution. Well, God created a new person, so to speak, which is the church, which is all of us. And that's why we are united as closely as we are. And not just because we're here for fellowship and singing, but this day, Pentecost, is when Christ breathed life into us to make us one. No longer many, but one. And that's, as I mentioned before, what he intends to do with all people throughout the world. The church was born today and intended to be the light to the nations, the instrument of salvation for all people, to gather all people into the bosom of the church, right? Our mother. Which, by the way, Pope Francis instituted a new Marian feast from this year moving forward. The Monday after Pentecost, being tomorrow, is Mary, Mother of the Church, to kind of extend the celebration of Pentecost a little bit more. So we, as the church, actually are renewed and born this day. And that's why there's so much solemnity. The Holy Spirit had to descend upon the apostles. It had to change them interiorly, as I mentioned last week at the Ascension, because, as Christ said, unless I go, I won't send the Advocate. And what did the Holy Spirit do this day at Pentecost but make the apostles do what they never could have done on their own? Right? To gather together humanity. These guys were not well educated. They were simple men. But with the Holy Spirit, they were elevated to something so much more. I mean, look at Peter preaching to all of those nations that were present in Jerusalem for the feast. He was preaching to them the truth of Christ. And all of these people who spoke all these different tongues, all these different languages, heard him as one. That was a sign of the new unity that was intended to pervade all of humanity. It was broken by sin. Pentecost is kind of the reverse of what happened to the Tower of Babel, you know, when God, because of the pride of humanity, scattered us into different nations and different languages. We are now brought together in the church. And that is God's will and intention, that we all be more and more united. And I've said before, what sounds really bad is that God does not intend or will many different faiths. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And the church is the means by which he gathers all into the fullness of truth of Jesus Christ. So that's why today is filled with so much joy and solemnity. And of course, as you know, we kick off our perpetual adoration today following Mass. And that is a beautiful sign of a renewal. The church is always ancient and always new, right? Like God. God is eternal, but always new. And the church is always being renewed. And what better way to renew our parish and our world and our own souls, of course, renew our relationship with Christ than to begin this beautiful, beautiful devotion, which is an extension of Mass. You know, some people can't make it to daily Mass, but adoration is there, perpetual adoration is there, so that we can continuously adore our Lord. So before and after Mass, it's a way to prepare for and give thanksgiving to our Lord in the midst of this greatest prayer, which is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So we are so blessed to be able to begin that today on such a fitting feast. And may the Holy Spirit come down upon all of us and renew all of us, renew our parish and renew the world as we begin this wonderful, wonderful, beautiful gift of devotion to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. May Mary, Mother of the Church, intercede for all of us. May St. Anne, Grandmother of the Church? Sure, we'll go with that. May St. Anne intercede for us as well, that our parish might be more and more closely conformed to that church that was present in the upper room on this first day of Pentecost.